The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. He's here as well. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
This is a good show here. NBA begins tonight. So you've got, we'll go over your picks again, not only for the entire season, but also you have a play tonight. That is correct?
I do have a play tonight, yeah.
All right. We look forward to that. We'll talk some baseball. I got a play tonight as well. Got a couple plays today. We'll review all the baseball bets that we've made. Drew Dinsick will talk basketball and football with us. The National Football League, Mark Borchardt and Paul Spohr on baseball. Pete Futak on college football. What a weekend it was in college football. We begin, of course, with the National Football League and Denver and the Chargers last night. The Broncos and the Chargers. And the Chargers get it done in overtime. Can I say get it done? Maybe it was just gotten done for them.
They were the winning team.
They won the game. They got the W, everybody. And the Broncos, yet another L. But one of these games where you leave watching it and you feel no more informed about either football team than you did prior to it.
Yep.
Broncos 2-4, Chargers 4-2 in the AFC West. We'll go through some of the details, and it really does come down to a lot of Russell Wilson talk in the end. First drive of the game, 4th-and-2 at the 37, scoreless game, 50 seconds into the ball game. The Chargers decide to go for it on a 4th-and-2 at the 37. They go for it and convert. That's on the Broncos 37. They go for it and convert. 4-yard gain on a batted ball that Herbert ended up getting to Michael Bandy somehow off the tip. Chargers went backwards from there. Questionable false start called on them. No call on what could have easily been a defensive PI. Still 0-0. Broncos went up 3-0, though. And this was the first sign that Russell Wilson, remember this, Kelly, I texted you right afterwards. This was the first sign where you're like, oh, man, Russell Wilson had a wide open Greg Dulcich right in front of him on a 3rd-and-2. Like, literally, there was no one around him. He was dead center in front of him, and he just took the sack from Khalil Mack.
Yep.
And they had to settle for field goals 3-0. Now, this was during the part of the game that Wilson was being praised for, where he was having a great first quarter. And remember, by halftime, Troy Aikman was saying that was the best half of football Russell Wilson's played this year. Well, stay tuned. So it's 3-0.
Well, he was right, too, right?
Well, he had the best quarter he's ever had, okay. Right? So first quarter, Russell Wilson was 10 of 10 for 116 yards and a touchdown. Do you know what he was thereafter?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I saw the stat in the second half, but I don't know. So seven.
This is from the first quarter on.
From the first quarter on, I'm going to go 7 for 19 for 72 yards.
I didn't really mean for you to guess, but okay. 5 for 18.
Oh, that was close.
Yeah, for 72 yards. That's it. So it's 3-0 at that point. Then it's 10-0, Denver. Chargers have a 3rd-and-5 at the Denver 19, 10:37 left in the second quarter. They're half a yard short of a first down, but they get a generous spot. And Nathaniel Hackett does not challenge it. Would have been 4th-and-inches. Maybe the Chargers get it on a sneak after that, but he doesn't challenge it. No presence of mind there. What happens? Well, of course, 3 plays later, Eckler from 6 out, 10-7. That's a 10-10 game. The Broncos start at their own 25. We're talking 53 seconds left in the first half. After an incomplete, Wilson with a hand in his face, 47 yards to Hambler, 10 to Judy, and a bogus roughing the passer penalty, McManus from 27, 13-10. They have to settle for a field goal because the clock was running out. But that was where Aikman said, right, that last flourish at the end of the half also, coupled with that first quarter performance, best half of football of his season.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go to the fourth quarter. 13-13, first play, fourth quarter. 4th-and-2 at the Denver 29 for the Chargers. Now, at this point, Dustin Hopkins is hurt. What do you think about him falling to the ground after every field goal? Do you think that was overdramatic? Do you think it was overplaying that? What do you think?
Oof.
Just saying.
Well, first, I got to thank God.
Just in my head.
First, I got to thank God for getting the W.
You
know,
do that.
But I don't know, man. I actually thought he toughed through it, and I thought it was really impressive.
4th-and-2 at the Denver 29, 13-13 game. First play, fourth quarter. Hopkins is hurt. Herbert pass intended for DeAndre Carter. Broken up by Damari Mathis, who had 3 PIs called against him before that for 77 yards, had a 4th PI later. The Rook.
That was bad.
And after a Denver punt, because now it's still 13-13, Denver punts it away. First play from scrimmage for the Chargers on the ensuing drive. 1st-and-10 from their own 17 with 10:42 left. And here's where you thought, okay, the Broncos are going to win this game. Williams tips a pass intended for Everett. Browning picks off Herbert. Ball knocked out by Joshua Palmer. Browning recovers his own fumble. Broncos, though, go nowhere. Set up on the Chargers side of the field in a tie ball game. McManus, 48-yard field goal, though he nails it, 16-13. All these opportunities, though, squandered into field goals.
The kickers were huge, though.
Kickers were huge. Now we're going to a 16-16 game after Hopkins hits, I believe, what was his third field goal of four of the game. Broncos did a couple really smart things towards the end of this game in regulation, which I do think needs to be noted. It'll get lost in history of this. We should give Hackett and his staff credit for this. Russell Wilson was taking every play clock as close down to zero as he could in a tie game with the Broncos with the ball as the clock was bleeding out. And then remember, they got stopped and they decided we're going to punt it as close to the 2-minute warning as possible to milk 9 extra seconds off the clock. So let's give the Broncos a little credit for that, because the Chargers ended up with a ball with 1:51 left in a tie game. By the way, it didn't matter. 4th and 1 at their own 43 with 27 seconds left, tie game after Herbert threw a late pass short of the sticks. The Chargers were in a bit of a conundrum. What do we do? Do we go for it? If we miss, though, then they get the ball in our territory. Do we sit on it? Their decision was to stop the clock with 1 second left and throw a Hail Mary that didn't get close to the end zone. We went to overtime. And finally in overtime, you know how it went. Broncos win the toss, 3 and out. Chargers, 3 and out. Broncos, 3 and out. Chargers, 3 and out. This was phenomenal. And you're thinking, is this the first overtime where both teams are going to have 3 possessions? I don't know if it was the first overtime, but that would have been noteworthy. No. Ensuing punt after the 4th consecutive 3 and out, 2nd in a row by the Chargers, P.J. Locke gets pushed into Montrell Washington by Jasir Taylor of the Chargers. The ball bounces off Washington, recovered by Dean Leonard of the Chargers. 4 plays later, Hopkins, 39-yard field goal with 2:43 left in overtime. 19-16 Chargers. There's your final. 43 survivor entries in circa spared. Denver now, Kelly, has held 5 of 6 opponents to 17 points or fewer, and they're 2-4. That's what they have to show for it.
It is wild. It is wild. Combined, total combined points through 6 weeks for the Denver Broncos, 31.7 is their average total for each game.
So this, it brings me to sort of a betting point.
Defense is playing well.
Defense is playing well. Defense is playing well. But by the way, the survivor point about the Chargers, like you can't, this team is, it's harrowing when you pick them. How those Charger survivors got by, congratulations to all y'all. Good for you.
It just feels like year in and year out, Keenan Allen matters so much to this team and offense. And I don't I know his stats are fantastic. Anybody goes and looks those up, you're gonna say, oh yeah, he is one of the best wide receivers in the league. But I don't know what it is. It's like year in and year out, he always seems to miss a few weeks. And when he's out of the game, his offense just feels completely different.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll do our NFL power ratings later. And again, this year it's phenomenal to even think about who's your number 4, and then how do you even justify after, like, from 6 to 10, throw up all these teams and in the air and see what lands. A couple other notes about this game. Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson added another ache last night.
When did this happen?
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like, is this your ego bruised or what's happening? But already painful start to the season. He suffered a hamstring injury, Kelly, apparently.
Sure
he did. In the 4th quarter of the game last night, the 19-16 overtime loss, he received treatment following the game. He'll be evaluated further this morning. As of last night, the belief was that he would be taken for an MRI as well.
I believe he had some quote, too, about, like, he felt it, and then, like, he was running on it afterward, and that, like, helped keep it loose, and it was like, what?
I don't know. Like I said, 10 for 10 in the first quarter. 10 for 10, Russell Wilson, 116 yards and touchdown. After that, 5 of 18 for 72 yards.
It's so sad. I don't even want to talk about Russell Wilson anymore, Gil. And we've got like 5 more years of this or something in Denver. What is it? It's like 3 years or something before they could realistically get rid of him without taking so much of a cap hit that they could actually recover from it.
They only had 13 first downs, the Broncos, yesterday. They had 10 penalties for 151 yards. By the way, what does that say about the Chargers? You were given 151 yards. By the way, Chargers had 9 penalties for 89 themselves. Neither team ended up with 300 total yards because of all those penalties. Just awful. And then this from Jason Lockenfor of the Washington Post, a prominent NFL exec telling him, he says, that he believes Sean Payton really wants to become the Chargers head coach, replacing Brandon Staley. It's largely tied to a desire, they say, to work with quarterback Justin Herbert, who many believe could develop into a perennial MVP candidate with the right coach. How about that for disrespect, if that's the case? Yeah, I want your job, buddy. You, Brandis Daly.
Also, I love that everybody just assumed that was going to be Dallas whenever he came back, right?
Miami and the Brady thing, then Dallas. So one thing about betting. So last night, Femi and Wes, talking about Femi Abebefe and Wes Reynolds, kind enough to have me on VSiN Live Bet Tonight, went to 5-1 on live bets on that show. And one of the things that we don't talk about enough that I think needs to be stated about in-game betting. So Femi at one point was like, hey, this is an early third quarter. The total is this. Do you want to go under at this? At that point, I was like, no, it's just still a little too much football left to play. But with 8:21 left in the game at 16-13, so 29 total points, the total was at 37.5. And I went under there. And I don't think we make enough of, again, we talk about in-game bets early. But when there is exceeding, or as I say, diminishing time left on the clock, and the variance of many possessions gets diminished, and you only have a finite amount left, your ability to make sort of more sound in-game bets is enhanced. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, my thinking was this. Hopkins is hurt. If they have any fourth and short, they're going for it. If the Chargers miss that down three, that will be 0 points. The Broncos will get the ball. If the Chargers end up scoring a touchdown, the Broncos' a field goal will do nothing for them. Remember, at this point, 8.5 points is what... 9 points was needed to beat me, so it was two scores. I had no confidence in the Broncos being able to get a touchdown to come back in that game. And even in the event of overtime, if one possession doesn't result in a touchdown, it's back in your favor because field goals are much more incentivized than touchdowns. So anyway, keep that in mind. When games have little clock left, better in-game opportunities. We'll come back with Drew Dinsick on basketball and football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Joby, the real Joby. Any chance for another discussion this week of adjusted NFL season win totals? The timing of the Panthers number that you had 2 weeks ago could not have been better. And last year's heist on the Broncos number after a few weeks, it was actually after 1 week, was one of the best futures bets of 2021. Well, thank you, Joby.
We'll work that in. Yeah, I've got a nice over Giants over 7.5 that we bet in season. Panthers to have the worst record in the NFL at 13-1. Liking those so far, Gil.
Same day we talked about the Panthers under. We talked about the Eagles over as well. We talked about the Chiefs over. Got a bunch of ones in there. Rick Olier. Is it possible that the Broncos are so bad that it makes every team on the field with them bad, too? Who needs sleeping pills when Les Rye is on at primetime every week? Les Rye, Kelly.
Oh,
Les Rye bread.
I was not happy when that game went to overtime. I'm like, I'm ready for bed. Like, no, I don't need to see more of this crap.
My brother.
And then the overtime was exactly what you expected, right? Three and out. I'm like, just go to a tie already.
I totally thought it was going to a tie. And then the muff. Just... don't even have anybody back there. What could possibly go right? You think you're taking that back to the house? You're not.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. I've heard a lot of people talk about that, intelligent people talk about it. They're absolutely right.
Hack it. Come on, man. All right, Drew Dinsick joins us once again from the Deep Dive podcast and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. We didn't get a chance to talk to Drew last week, and we were like, how long has it been since we talked to Drew? It felt like a month. It was just 1 week.
We missed you, man.
We missed you. How you doing, man?
I'm great. It's great to be back. It did feel like an extended absence, even though it was just the 1 week. But no, week six in the NFL continues to be just absolute magic for me so far this season.
Really?
So I'm in a great mood. And now we get to kick off NBA on top of it. So everything is going super well.
So let's do football first, then we'll do NBA next time because Kelly's got some season-long plays he wants to share in the NBA as well. Mm-hmm. But you said this is going great for you. The bounces are all going your way. Is that what I'm gleaning from that?
Basically every single lucky bounce has gone my way, it feels like, through 6 weeks of the season.
Me
and on
too.
Top of that, my futures portfolio is like, it looks fake. Like, I can't believe some of these.
Do you stare
some
at
of
it?
This stuff that,
do you stare at, well, yeah, it all day? But
that's the funny thing, because usually this time of year, like, you've got a little bit of equity here and there, and you're trying to buy low on some teams. And now I'm literally like, I got to play defense. Like, where's my blind spot? Like, who could realistically kind of upset where we go from here? Because, you know, the start has been so perfect. So, you know, I'm on alert now. I'm watching my blind side here, because this has been an unpredictable season. Like, you know, this is the degree to which effort has mattered, and injuries have, you know, in-game injuries have been the decision, you know, specifically, you know, huge, you know, influence on who's winning and covering game by game. It feels like that's on the uptick of, you know, relative to recent seasons. And, you know, the general parity that you have beyond the Bills and maybe the Eagles is just, you know, that anyone can win on any given day. Anyone can lose. Should anyone be a 7-point favorite? I mean, all of these questions are swirling in my mind.
The parity is breathtaking. Has anybody used that adjective to describe parity before? It really is. It's breathtaking. You made a point there that I just want to seize on it again, because I've mentioned it. I mentioned it yesterday. I've mentioned it at other times during this football season. I, too, have had many bounces go my way in the National Football League this year. Yeah. And what I like to say is, as a handicapper, you've got to recognize when it's you and oftentimes when it's not you, even in victory, right? So sometimes in defeat, people gravitate the way our brains are, why we gravitate towards excuses, but people do that. With victory, you also have to realize that as well. And so, you know, one of the things that I also said about this is when the bounces weren't going my way, I wasn't dumb. And when they're going my way now, I'm not that smart. And that's just the NFL. And so that, by the way, that helps you just sort of move forward in a sport like this. Like, you just got to realize that the animal that we're dealing with is just kind of ridiculous sometimes. But by the way, I feel compelled to ask you about the futures. What futures do you have, though?
Josh Allen MVP. I'm down from 9, 8, 7, 57. I played that everywhere I could get a bet in. Sirianni Coach of the Year. I'm up to my eyeballs. Eagles to get the one seed. Eagles to get the most wins in the NFL. 20-1. Those are the ones. You know, basically that's what I'm most hoping kind of comes through. If I get two of those, I think I'm green for all of my futures preseason. So
yeah,
that's where I stand. And, you know, to your point, like, I was due some breaks last year. It was the exact opposite story. I feel like I could come on every week and be like, my team outgained by 150 yards. My dog outgained by 150 yards and won the turnover battle, and yet somehow couldn't cover a 3.5-point spread. You know, like, that was kind of the way it was going for me last year in the regular season. So to have it break for me, and now I'm literally sitting here, like, with the NBA. This is the eve of the NBA kicking off and, you know, tipping off. And I obviously take the NBA very seriously. I'm betting it day by day. And I'm seriously considering, what do I need to downstake NFL and basically just kind of play defense in the futures market and or just kind of reduce my overall, you know, volume of plays in any given week, just so I can focus a little more on NBA, because this is a dangerous time of year where you start to pick up, you know, or cover and or bet a little bit more than you can actually kind of keep track or keep up with all the information. So that's mostly what's on my mind today.
Well, because that's also something that we've all at different points have come to, right? Like, how many times have you said to yourself, based on whatever sport it is, you're like, why do I bet anything else? Like, this is what I'm good at, right? Like, I'm making my, and then I go ahead and I bet these other sports and I just give back some of it, if not all of it in some cases. So before we get to the NBA, because I know you want to talk about that, week 7 in the NFL, have you not done anything as a result for week 7, or what do you have in pocket already?
I played a handful of early stuff, but I'm probably going to have another light card. It felt decent last week. I think in total I had 5 plays and, you know, between sides and totals, and I was like, you know what, this is more appropriate, especially considering how the breaks were going my way. And so this week is probably going to be more of the same. The only side that really sung to me was the Bengals at 6 over the Falcons. That to me should be a 7, 7.5-point spread, mostly because the Falcons are dealing with a cluster injury at cornerback. You know what's not good when you're going up against a team that has multiple threats at the wide receiver position, and you would say, well, maybe at least, you know, you can take advantage of the weak offensive line for Cincinnati. No, Atlanta's pass rush is woefully inept. So this to me actually, you know, speaks to a pretty clean cover for Cincinnati over Atlanta. And among the sides, that's the one that I would have the highest conviction in going into the week.
On the subject of injuries, do the Saints have so many now that you think about playing the Cardinals also this Thursday night?
Yeah, I think Cardinals are a fair play at 1.5 on, besides just getting, you know, Nuke Hopkins back, who matters a ton to just moving the chains for them. And
right.
If you look at Arizona's offense, they're pretty good on first and second downs. They just cannot convert a third down to save their lives. And Hopkins is kind of the guy that unlocked that for them in years past. So Arizona's offense suddenly looking very competent against a New Orleans defense that has huge, huge, huge issues and question marks and injuries all across the board on a short week. I agree, Arizona or pass on Thursday.
Because of the injuries, Hopkins coming, Lattimore looks like it could be gone, Michael Thomas out, it's on and on. And so at some point you're like, well, I wasn't going to bet this, but now you're compelling me to. I still don't know if I want to play the Cardinals and Survivor. That's a whole nother matter. But that's certainly interesting, too. So let's start with the NBA. Let's begin with sort of a player award. Is there a player award bet that you have made?
Well, this is not untread ground. Other people feel this way, too, and I think this is pretty obvious. And we talked about this, actually. So to the loyal listeners of A Numbers Game, this is going to be repeat content. But the best player bet out there, and it's not close, is Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. As I look across the NBA from a macro level, I think the Timberwolves still remain the easy kind of market is too low on this team as we start the season. And you can set aside even the fact that their schedule breaks exceptionally favorably through the first month of the season and that they can race out to a little bit of a lead here in the Western Conference. But the way that this team is rostered and, you know, sort of the very variable looks they can give you offensively and defensively with the coaching that Chris Finch brings to the table, it's all just perfect, symphony. And I think that this is going to be a very good regular season team. Defensive player of the year going to Rudy Gobert seems almost too easy, honestly. 4-1, 5-1, whatever number you can get is a fair play. His fair by my numbers is closer to even money.
Did you go over on their season win total, the T-Wolves? Did you go alternate season win total over?
Yeah, and in fact, I have most wins for them. 20-1 is sort of my favorite long shot bet.
Man who has the Eagles as his most wins guy also.
20-1. Magic. Yes. That's the secret sauce right there. And honestly, Western Conference has four of the five worst teams in the NBA. Serious tanking opportunity there. Their division has two of those teams. The Denver Nuggets in their division are market overrated by my numbers. So, Timberwolves are going to get the one seed in the West.
All right, so let's drill down on that Nuggets thing because that's a bit of a contrarian take. Everybody loves the Nuggets. We'll talk about that. All of Drew's bets in the NBA, all of Kelly's as well. On the other side, it's A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the best betting talent in the game. If you haven't, have not subscribed yet, VSiN has a midseason offer to make you a smarter better. Sign up now for just $99. Get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. You'll get everything VSiN has to offer, including our 24/7 live shows and subscriber-only betting guides to college bowl season and the Super Bowl, all for less than the normal monthly rate. You also get VSiN subscriber-only season prep guides to the NHL, NBA, and World Cup. It's the best bet in the game, $99 for VSiN Pro now through the Super Bowl. That's it, $99. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, when you also get the VSiN Plus subscription, you'll hear all our fake video, our fake political ads that we are attacking each other with here behind the scenes.
Drew Dinzik's long hair and beard attitude are just not what you want to get behind for political office.
Kelly Billings never met a keyboard he knows on a pound into oblivion. What'll he do with your children?
Oh, they're so silly. Stop these. Stop them, please.
Stop all morning, all day. We get tweets. We get texts. Let me just read this one text. This is from my buddy Tommy, who's in his 50s, Kelly. I just want to point this out.
You got a buddy Tommy, too? Everybody got a buddy named Tommy, huh?
He said, well, my Owens, this is talking about his fantasy football team. He says, well, I'm 0-6 in my big league and 1-5 in the other one. Uncharted waters for me. It's hard to imagine losing 11 out of 12 fantasy football games, but it's my reality. As the defending champion, I will continue to devour information and press on. It's what a champion does. Tommy, everybody.
Wow.
People still take their fantasy football way too seriously. By the way, he was like the president of the Washington Dental Society. This is what he texted about. Oh, good.
Well, he's got the right attitude, I guess.
He sure does.
He will inspire his team with that attitude.
Drew Dinsick is here, everybody. Dude, he says that. He says, I'm going to have a talk with my team. I'm going to have a talk with my team after this. You
Dan
still
Campbell
play
over here.
You still play fantasy, Drew, at all? You have no time.
I'm in one league, but I haven't checked my – I think I'm doing well, but I haven't checked my roster or my lineup in like 3 weeks.
I got no time for that. All right, back to the NBA. You talked about the Denver Nuggets. Now, everybody – not everybody, but anecdotally, as we do these shows and we talk to NBA experts, it is a very common theme. And we even said this like as the playoffs were approaching last year, hey, if Jamal Murray comes back, if they get their guys back right, this could be a team that could make noise even in the postseason last year. Now – it's that sentiment heading into this season. Hey, look what Jokic did by himself. Now, full throttle, imagine what Denver can do. Yet you're going the other way on that.
Yeah, the vibe around what their vision, because this is, and this is actually maybe a better macro point for NBA broadly, is you have to, even more this year than in years, any other year I can remember, and this feels like it's been increasing, like you have to do a decent job of dissecting what is this team's regular season goal from what is their postseason goal. And this is narrative, nonsensey, speculative, qualitative. All of that is true about what I'm about to say.
I'm here for it.
But the point of the matter is the Denver Nuggets were useless in the playoffs last year because Jokic fired every single possible bullet that he had in the regular season. He got the MVP because of it, because it was amazingly impressive to watch him do that night in, night out, drag that miserable team up and down the court. And he was absolutely gassed in the playoffs. What is to say that he doesn't come into this season and have a little bit more restraint in terms of what he gives the team in a regular season capacity? Because he knows, you know, if we're going to have any regular postseason success, if I'm going to get out of round one, if I'm going to have a chance against the Warriors in a playoff series, I need to be performing at a higher level, which means I need to be peaking in April, May, June, not in, you know, December, January, February. And so this idea that he is going to give you exactly what you got from him the last two seasons in the regular season, I take exception to knowing that surely. And then what does that mean? You're now counting on Jamal Murray, who's coming off of an entire year absence and a pretty serious injury. You're counting on Michael Porter Jr., who, what was the last time he was realistically able to give you a full season of health? Like, I've never seen it, you know? And so this idea that all of a sudden the reinforcements are here and you can take exactly what you had at last year and just add to it, I'm not seeing that at all. I think there certainly is going to be a balancing act. And just in general, the fact that you're counting on a leap from Bones Highland. Like, I've heard people make this case that, they got Bones. Okay, great. Congratulations. Like, this is still a team that has depth issues, has holes, and the only thing I can really put in the positive column for them is they play at altitude, and you still have an advantage whenever any team's coming through Denver because it's a very tough, physical season. 82 games is miserable for all of these players to go through, and anytime you stop in Denver, it's going to stink. And so they're going to be great at home. They'll probably be a bet-on team at home. But this idea that they're just going to blow doors and be the top seed in the West, I don't see it.
I'm with you, Drew. Just to cut in real quick.
No, I could see you turning red, so I know you disagree.
No. I actually think it's an interesting point by Drew because I think I look at it not so much from the Jokic side, but it's the realization of this team that once they get into the playoffs, yes, you're right, they're not so deep, but I think they're pretty strong 7-8 deep about that range, right? So I think they know that once they get into the playoffs, they can be a dangerous team, and I think they are a title contender, but it's how do you grow up as a franchise and a team, and you need to learn how to manage the minutes when it comes to Jokic and the minutes with these guys like Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. who are coming off serious injuries, and after watching all of last season, you need to just make it to the playoffs healthy this year, and I think that is. It might be a narrative heading into the season, Drew, but I think it is something that you can bet around, whereas compare that to the Timberwolves, where you've got a whole new unit together, a bunch of young players on that team that need to get the minutes, need to get the run together. I think you could absolutely see the Timberwolves have a better regular season than the Nuggets.
Yeah. That's a fair characterization. And you take care of business at home. You beat the teams that are tanking. You're going to be a 4-5 seed in the playoffs. And that's really what they need to set themselves up at. I don't necessarily see what advantage they have by firing additional bullets to get a top seed. Like, you know, and I would question, you know, the way that the Suns approached last season. Like, I got burned by the Suns ultimately not even getting to the Western Conference Finals, just buried an enormous amount of money on that. And I think a lot of it was because there were portions of the season where that team was fatigued, they were gassed, and they did not take their foot off the gas. And, you know, I don't know that that changes the Suns. You know, the Suns have bigger issues this season, surely. But, you know, I think there are a lot of teams that are taking lessons from the way that the last couple of seasons have played out, and, you know, really, you know, load management in particular. And I would expect a lot of teams have, especially with the fact that you have this weird bifurcation where you have a lot of superstars that are getting really old in the NBA. And those guys are going to almost certainly be thinking ring first, foremost only. And so it's like, you know, regular season for those guys is going to be get my team in position to not have to play my way into the playoffs, which means get a top six seed. And then beyond that, we'll figure it out. And, you know, I think you can look at the Brooklyn Nets in that light. I think you can look at the, you know, you can look at the Warriors sort of in that light. I mean, especially because the Warriors, and actually maybe this is an interesting kind of pivot point of discussion. The Warriors are the most interesting team to me because they're trying to do something that no franchise has ever successfully done, which is pivot on the fly from their aging superstar talent to this next generation of young players who they need to get minutes. And so the regular season for them is going to be a wild balancing act between, you know, who gets minutes, what roles and responsibilities you have for some of these younger players versus, you know, the guys like Draymond Green and Thompson in particular. Like, how do you utilize their roles in the regular season? Do you literally just put them on the shelf and expect them to perform at a high level come playoff time? And how they balance that is going to be fascinating to watch it play out. And what is Steph Curry's motivation? Like, he basically kind of cemented his legacy with the Finals MVP last year. What does he plan for this year? I'm fascinated to see how it all comes together for that
team. I'd already argue that they are a historical anomaly and that they won championships, went to the bottom without having to do the rebuild, already won another one on top of that. So it continues to be fascinating with them. We only have 2 minutes here, Drew. So let's rapid fire through your favorite bets. What do you have?
Ooh, for tonight, for tomorrow, for the season, we can go in a lot of different directions.
Let's do tonight.
So for tonight, I'm on the over in this Philly-Boston game. I think you could see. I'm high on Philly in general. Granted, I'm high on their offense and their defense, but I have huge questions about what Boston's defense matchup look like, specifically with Robert Williams not available here. You're seeing some Boston money show up lately, which is fair. I think a lot of that is buyback, though, as somebody's trying to capture a little bit of middle since this has moved an incredible amount. I played over 215 this morning, and I think that's good up to about 218. Philly in the first half is also a decent look as well. Their starting unit is extremely, extremely effective in first quarter, and we've seen them already looking quite sharp in some preseason minutes that they've played together. So I would expect Philly to be pretty impressive in the first, second quarter of this game. And maybe Boston comes back and gets the win. Maybe they get the cover, but I do like the over in that contest. And then Lakers, Golden State is an interesting one because it looks like we are going to insert Russell Wilson into the starting lineup here, which I think derails a lot of what the Lakers do from a spacing standpoint. And, I'm banking a little bit on LeBron James giving you some defensive effort here. I played some under. It's come down a lot from 229.5 to 224 currently. But I still think there's room to the under. Golden State, you know, Kerr has come out and said he's going to have limited minutes and roles for his vets just based on conditioning. So I think that game could be a little ugly.
All right, 5 seconds. Your favorite season-long bet is?
I'll give you a different one. Joel MVP'd. MVP'd. MVP'd.
MB'd. MVP.
MVP'd.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Kelly's got some basketball picks. We've got our NFL power rankings on the other side next. Numbers Game, Feast of the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score or prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Pro tip of the hour. You ready for that, Kelly? You want to do a pro tip of the hour? When live betting the NFL, and I mentioned this, but we ran into a wall, so I hope I made my point on this. Look for spots later in the game to jump in on the total. Specifically, you can often figure out roughly how many possessions remain and bet accordingly. Remember, when there is less of a runway, the variance ought to decrease as well. And so perhaps your rate of success on these bets will therefore increase as well. And that's what, again, using the example of the Chargers and the Broncos last night, 8:21 left. Total was at 37.5. The in-game total was 37.5. There were 29 points scored to that point. And you could sort of go through your head at that. Well, now I can actually sort of wrap my brain around how many possessions are going to be left here and what the scenarios will be with all the factors. Hopkins is hurt. If it's fourth and long, they'll do this, the Chargers. If it's fourth and short, they're likely to do this. Even if it's a tie, Denver will be incentivized to do this. Even if it goes to overtime, one possession, if they don't get the touchdown, then it's probably field goals, that sort of thing. That is your pro tip of the hour. I hope people take more advantage of late in-game total plays in the National Football League. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN. That's 20 a day for every show. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Kelly, you didn't get a chance to do your NBA picks.
I'll hit those in a sec. Just real quick, though, I think that's we used to talk about live betting different strategies on primetime action all the time for a numbers game audience. Like, I think that's it's a great point. You and I were talking about it during the break a couple breaks ago, and it's, yeah, I find myself when I'm live betting the NFL, if I'm jumping in live on a side, it's usually earlier in the game, and a total, it's usually later in the game, with exactly what you just laid out, of where you can really kind of figure out how many possessions are left, what the circumstances might be. I think you did a great job in that first segment laying out, well, you got a hurt kicker, so that's going to come into factor of you going for it. They take out the field goals from the equation a little bit, and it just allows you to simplify things a little bit more, and I think that's, you know, NBA's starting back up tonight. That's where I do, 75% of my live betting probably in sports in total. NFL's probably next down, but it's not a ton, because I really do try to hone in on kind of things like that over the years, where you do learn how to spot, not necessarily opportunities, but the right times to look at things in game.
Doesn't mean you're going to hit them all the time, but your rate of success ought to increase.
Exactly. NBA tonight, I am on the Sixers. It sounded like Drew was liking that more of a first half play. I played them full game here, just really coming in with, early season NBA, first of all, I think you need to look bet at teams. One of my little quick tips for early season NBA betting would be bet on teams that are basically, that core has been together for, you know, coming back from the previous year. That applies really to the 76ers and the Celtics in this game. But Celtics, no Robert Williams. I think that size is going to be difficult for them to match up with. It was a thing that I used to pick on Boston last year when Robert Williams was out in spots on. And I like that tonight with Joel Embiid down low for the Sixers. Like Drew was talking about, it is really been interesting to watch this market swing over the past few days. This game getting heavily bet into, Gil, but you can tell it's a lot of money line betting because it really hasn't moved between 2 and 3 for the line on the game. But that money line, I grabbed +140. I looked last night. The Sixers were down to like +110 pretty much nationwide. And now it's back up to like +125, +130 I'm seeing here in town. So I don't know, maybe wait a little bit. You might even be able to get a little bit better number on the Sixers.
Real quick, what's your 1, 2, 3, 4 power rank? We're about to do NFL power rankings, but what's your NBA Eastern Conference power rank teams at the top?
Oh, that at the top would be Bucks, 76ers, Celtics, Nets.
Okay.
That would be my 4. You want to fly through my futures?
Yeah,
quick?
Yeah.
I'll go through NBA futures for the season real quick. Start with my team futures. I got a few Hawks ones. Now, the Hawks Eastern Conference NBA Finals ones were made before the DeJounte Murray trade. Right as that trade happened, I grabbed these numbers before the market adjusted. Look, they've after all the moves in the Eastern Conference this offseason, these really kind of have swung back. I'm not really sure I would recommend betting on them now. Having said that, I do like the Hawks to win the Southeast Division. That was a bet I made just last week, plus 170, I think is a good number on there. I think you're going to see a better Atlanta team, a worse Miami team this year, and I don't really think anybody, any Charlotte or Orlando really matter much in that division. I know there's some people high on the Magic this year. Cavs to make the playoffs, that was one I jumped in front of right before the Donovan Mitchell trade, so obviously that number's gone, disregard that. Pelicans over 44.5 wins, I believe that number's still roughly out there. I'm high on this Pelicans team this year. Hornets under 34.5 wins, we've heard a couple people talk about that. I do think that's a team that could be heading into the tank early this year. Flip over to my player awards. Tyrese Maxey and LaMelo Ball both to win most improved player. We have talked about that formula over and over again, Gil, where it really is that kind of third to fifth year player who's had that good year the season before. They looks yep. to make that leap in that next year.
It's never someone from oblivion.
Never someone from oblivion. All yep. these two guys got to do is add up that points per game stat, and they are right in the mix of this conversation. Tyrese Maxey, I only made this bet about 2 weeks ago. I believe he is like one of the short shots now. I don't really know what happened in the preseason to think people that Tyrese Maxey had changed so much.
Wow,
but he's apparently
25-1.
Yeah, 25-1. And then LaMelo Ball, he's going to start off the season hurt, so that hurts this a little bit. Also, don't know how the Hornets are going to be viewing this season. That might hurt that bet a bit. Trae Young, if I'm betting all these Hawks bets, I got to take a piece of 42-1 on him as MVP. So bet that last week. And then Gil, my favorite bet of the NBA offseason.
You love this.
Norman Powell to win Sixth Man of the Year. Me and JVT were talking about this on Hardwood Handicappers last week. This number is still live in Vegas. It is so off market, I can't believe. He is one of the short shots, about 9-1 now. This Clippers team is going to be, I mean, I think they're going to be good this year, but Norman Powell, an elite scorer coming off the bench for them, and he'll be the first guy off the bench, Sixth Man of the Year. I love that bet, love that number. I would have played that at 14-1.
NFL Power Rankings time with a sexy intro.
Fire it up. Plug it in.
You know, as long as outlets are considered sexy.
That's
sexy
right.
Intro.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. It doesn't change for me. Yeah, if you said the Eagles were 2 and the Chiefs were 3, I wouldn't quibble with you. But Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. And then your decision becomes who's number 4? Kelly, I got the Cowboys at 4 just because I think that defense is so good that puts them over the fray.
Me too. I put them there too. Same thing.
So I had the Niners 4th last week. They have a lot of injuries. I didn't dock them too much because of that, but they go down to 5 because, again, you know, someone's got to be there. So they're that.
Someone's got to be there.
And the Ravens, someone's got to be at 6. The Ravens could be 6-0. I get it. They're not. They're 3-3. They've squandered 3 monster leads. But they're 6 to me. And then I have the Bengals actually at 7 because I think that Burrow to Chase combination can get you out of a lot of jams.
The wide receivers in general, right? It's the passing game is still really good.
So I got the Bengals coming out of from outside of the top 10 into the top 10 all the way to 7. And then here's where it gets, you know, listen, it gets even more dicey. The Dolphins probably shouldn't be in my top 10 anymore, but they are because I had them in and they've, you know, it's a quarterback issue, so I still have them at 8. The Chargers probably shouldn't be there, but like, who else is going to be 9? They're 4-2. And the Vikings at 5-1, just because the Plinko chip is going their way this year, they're at 10. But like, the big thing with my top 10 is I refuse to put the Rams or the Buccaneers in the top 10 anymore.
Okay.
They're just bad at football.
Okay. If we go over to mine, I think the biggest surprise for me, Gil, was that it's the same 10 teams as last week. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I kept trying to want to jump another team up there, but like kind of Dolphins were right on the edge for me. You know, you're trying to make some arguments in your head for like the Giants or something like that. I'm like, I can't really.
I don't ever remember a year like this.
It's been bizarre. So I'm right there with you. I went Bills, Eagles 2, stay at 2 for me. Chiefs 3, stay at 3 for me. Cowboys, I've jumped up to 4. And then you're right. Like after that, it's. I think we're right on the 4th team. I mean, look, it is projecting a little bit ahead with Dak coming back, and that's why they're 4 to me. But
correct. Yes,
they deserve the rest of that team deserves to be number 4.
We may have seen the 2 championship previews this past week.
Yeah, might have. And then Ravens 5 because I'm like, who else can I really put up ahead of them?
Right.
Bengals 6, fine. They lost the head to head, so I'll put them right behind the Ravens. Vikings 7 up 2 spots for me. 5-1, but they're probably the worst 5-1 team ever. Bucks, I got 8. I dropped them down 4 spots. I hear what you're saying, Gil. But it's the same thing. Who the heck am I really putting in front of them? And then Chargers 9, 49ers 10.
We are basically the same with the small exception that your Niners are lower and your Bucks are
Niners
higher.
Niners and Bucks, we've been off along like kind of this whole time.
I've been down on the Bucks the whole time. So far, I feel pretty vindicated about that so far. But that's the NFL this year, man. A lot of question marks beyond the third team. We'll come back. We'll talk baseball with Mark Borchardt. Playoffs in full swing next.